Greetings to those of you online and those of you who are here. This morning I'm going to be speaking about divine flow and being fluid. So we've gotten accustomed to hearing that phrase, go with the flow, be with the flow. And so it's important to consider what that might mean in its essence. Where does the flow come from? And what does it mean to go with it? In order to understand that, we have to think of ourselves and of reality as multidimensional. So what flows is the energy that comes through all dimensions from God the Source. The Source is the divine oneness that infuses all things. That Source transmits itself across various planes or dimensions that have different levels of vibration. And so the flow that we try to go with is divine intentionality. What is it that the universe wishes in order that it be most in harmony with itself? What is it that God, who is the universe embodied, wishes to harmonize all of creation? That's what the flow is. It's the harmonic vibration that moves through all planes and dimensions, endeavoring to bring them all into unity. So we who are on the physical plane have a choice about this. We can choose not to be in unity. We can choose not to respond as if there's a divine harmonic, as if there's something to pay attention to. In other words, we can choose to follow personal will rather than divine will. But we know from various spiritual traditions that conceptualize this, that there is a Tao to the universe. There is something that moves throughout all things, the breath of creation. And in a way, every spiritual tradition has a word for this. Tao is one word, Ruach is another. But there are many words for it. So the divine oneness seeks to infuse itself within all of creation. And what limits that is only the choices of those who have free will to pursue a different direction. That doesn't mean that was a mistake, because those of us who have entered the sphere of duality, that plane of experience, chose to be here in order to experience our own individuality. That wasn't a mistake. But in order to be part of the divine flow, we have to then bring our individual essence and expression back into harmony with the harmonic of the universe. The universe, starting from whatever we conceive of as God the Source, the divine oneness, the source of all, transmits itself vibrationally and in consciousness through all planes of creation. And we, who desire to be part of the flow, need to tune ourselves to the divine harmonic. Now, in simple terms, what that would mean is if we move consciously and unconsciously, because we have to be unified in our direction, consciously and unconsciously, in the direction of surrender. That is, we surrender all parts of ourselves, not just a portion. If we move in the direction of love and trust in each moment, then we are opening the way to perceiving what the divine flow is, because the divine harmonic of the universe is love. And to access that, one must be part of it. So without opening to love, there can't be surrender, because what would you surrender to? And there would be fear and resistance on the part of many. The approach to the divine harmony of the universe is through the understanding that the divine oneness is love, and that surrender is to that love and through that love. But in the individuality of how we go through our own experience, we can have a sense of alignment with divine flow, let's say, some of the time we're in divine harmony with the universe, and some of the time we're fighting with it. That's how it is for most human beings. We have a portion of our consciousness that's willing to surrender and be in flow, and there's a portion of our consciousness that says, such and such should not be happening according to what I believe should be happening, so we're not in that flow. As long as we are dictating to the universe what should be happening, we're no longer in divine flow, because divine flow essentially is the path of manifestation of divine intentionality. And the way to know what that is through surrender. Simple to say, difficult to do. And so those who seek to be more in harmony have to think about harmony. How can I be more in harmony with my surroundings, with those in my life, with the gifts and the challenges that divine intentionality has brought before me? How can I be more surrendered to that? That's the fundamental question. And then there's the issue of whether you're willing to, because the willingness to do that has to be based on love and trust. Love and trust tell you that it's all right to let go of your personal will. It's all right that no matter what it looks like is happening, if you are endeavoring to surrender to the flow of divine intentionality, that only what will produce good can be happening. So the place where many of us find problems with this whole matter is the place where we think we know how divine flow should look, and it doesn't look that way. We think we know how it should look for ourselves or for the world, and it doesn't look that way. And so let's consider for a minute why it doesn't look that way. Well, there are several reasons. One is that there may be a desire to attune to divine intention, to the flow of divine intention, but the access route may not be open sufficiently. In other words, there may be an intention to love and to be love, but the access route to love may be compromised by fear, by anger, by resentment, by judgment, those just feelings that are coming up. So even though there's an intention to love, the actuality is that one is not feeling love. And as I said before, this has to be whole. It can't be piecemeal. The expression of unity with the divine harmonic has to be on the conscious level and on the unconscious level. So you may find in yourself an intention to love, which is always good, and difficulty experiencing it because of the other feelings that get in the way. That doesn't mean there isn't a possibility of opening further to the divine harmonic. There is, and it's called prayer. Prayer opens you to greater degrees progressively of unity with the divine oneness. Prayer conveys the intention of your heart to that which hears all, to the one that hears all, conveys what your essential being is saying. Help me to be part of you. Help me to be part of the oneness. So prayer is the road to deal with the feelings that are getting in the way of love and trust. So that's part one of what can be a limitation in tuning to divine flow. It's the emotions that get in the way of being love. The emotions are so varied, as much as human beings are varied. A second thing that can also get in the way of how we think the picture of life should be is that there's a soul contract or agreement that souls often make with their higher self counterpart, that you have chosen to embody a path of service that involves difficulty. If your soul has chosen to embody a path of service that involves difficulty, it's doing that for the benefit of all. It's doing that for the benefit of holiness. It's doing that for the purpose of redemption. But the human self may not remember it made that agreement. And so the human self may feel life isn't looking the way I think divine will would make it look. I think something different should be happening. But the soul, meanwhile, has accepted a degree of challenge or difficulty that in itself is part of divine flow. Because divine flow doesn't outpicture in one way. It has many different variations. You would think that it has the meaning of being in harmony and feeling harmony. And yes, that's true. If that were the only thing that were going on, you would feel harmony with your life. You would feel the synchronicity of events. You would feel the flow of things that you hoped for coming to you when they were needed. All of that is the harmonic of the physical dimension harmonizing with the divine intentionality. But if you as a soul have chosen to take on a path of service that has a high priority for mankind, for the world, for the purpose of transforming the earth, then it is likely that for longer or shorter periods of time, you won't be feeling the divine harmony. You will be in divine flow because you'll be doing what your higher self in conjunction with God agreed to. So you will be absolutely in the flow of divine intentionality, but you won't, as a human being, experience it as the divine harmonic where everything seems to simplify and fall into the place of I receive what I need when I need it, which is everybody's wish to have what's needed come. So those souls who have willingly taken on a path of service that involves difficulty, and some aspects of that involve energies that may be difficult, and some aspects of that may involve a physical or mental limitation, which in itself can be helpful to those who are interacting with that limitation. A physical or mental limitation can help, let's say, a group of souls interact with an understanding of how to maintain trust in the presence of helplessness, for example. So that can be a service too, not just energies, but physical limitations as well. So we need to go back to the word surrender and understand that divine intentionality manifests through the joining of divine will with personal will, and surrender is the key. Surrender to love. Surrender to the blessing that is intended for you and for mankind, womankind. Surrender to the goodness of life. That's what surrender is based on. And when one does not feel those things, then it's much more difficult to surrender. If one feels lack of trust in life, or that life is unfair, or that things that are happening shouldn't be happening, then it's more difficult to be in divine flow. However, I qualify that again by saying many of you are in service. And so whether you feel in harmony or harmonizing, you are nevertheless doing what you're here to do. And so the flow of divine oneness and intention is moving through you because you are faithfully and devotedly doing what your soul agreed to do. Being fluid, beloved ones, being fluid involves, on the human level, letting go of personal will and allowing change to take place without understanding why it's taking place or how it's taking place. Being fluid means putting yourself in a place of trust so that you can move and let go of whatever of the past you are holding on to as not your identity, not who you are. The flow becomes your identity. The fluidity of change becomes your identity. Think about that. Think about whether you feel all right about that. Not to have an identity that's based on who you have been is what being with the divine flow requires. Because if you're holding on to past experience in memory, in emotions, in thoughts, then you'll repeat past experience and you won't be open to change. Being fluid involves trust that goes beyond understanding. You can say that it's trust of the heart, and it is. You can say that it's trust of the soul manifesting through your heart. It's the willingness to allow change to occur because there's a fundamental trust that the divine oneness that moves through these events that are changing is bringing about greater wholeness and greater good. So even if it doesn't seem good or feel good, underneath that can be the perception of good. Because the divine oneness, that is God, is bringing forth good out of pain, out of difficulty, out of physical limitation, out of mental limitation. You ask yourself whether you're willing to trust that, because there's a radical shift that's involved with letting go of the past. Most people cling ferociously to their past identity as necessary. That's not what God has in mind. That's what human beings have done out of a need to establish security and a sense of comfort in life. That's not the future of what it means to be human. It's the past of what it means to be human. The future of what it means to be human is the trust in love, in divine intentionality, that allows change to occur smoothly and without understanding. Understanding is good, but it's not necessary. Trust is not based on understanding, it's based on love. Trust is based on the perception of loving goodness, of the divine oneness. Trust is based on love, not on understanding. So the heart can feel that without the mind knowing anything. But there has to be a relative degree of absence of fear and a relative degree of assurance that, yes, I don't know what's happening and I don't know why it's happening, but I trust that something good will come out of it. This is the future of humanity. This is what it means to lead a sacred life. It means to become fluid in a life that's defined by God, not by you. It's defined by God, not by you. And in order for that to happen for humanity collectively, there has to be an experience directly of divine truth and divine reality. It can't be done on the level of idea, and it can't happen on the level of will. In order for humanity to change, there has to be a direct experience of divine goodness and divine being inside oneself. And when that happens, and to the extent that that happens, then surrender will be made easy, because one will know that the human reference points for identity are a layer, a surface layer. And identity goes into the soul level, which is much deeper, that's connected with the all, with God. Identity is that. It's not the surface level, because you've been many surfaces, and the surface is the surface. So human beings are waiting, crying out, desiring greatly to have an experience of divine reality. And that's what will bring it about. It's the longing, the calling forth, the yearning to have this experience of a different world and a different inner reality. That's what will bring it about, and is bringing it about. So you each, beloved ones, have a choice about your own surrender, to look honestly and clearly at the places where you're saying yes and the places where you're saying no. Because all of you needs to come to terms with what you trust about divine reality and where you feel the only thing that's trustworthy is your own will. All of you needs to know that. And if you're fighting with other people, or you're fighting with life, or you're fighting with circumstances, then you particularly need to address this issue. Because circumstances may endow you with various kinds of limitations. And you may, out of your human perception, feel that these limitations are wrong or bad, but they may be just fine. They may be what your soul agreed to for a good purpose, and a purpose that's not only for you, but for others as well. So you get to decide whether you're going to look at life from the vantage point of your own personal perception on the human level, or whether you're going to see where the edges of surrender are being held back, where surrender is being prevented, and where therefore you can't be fluid with what life brings because you're, instead of surrendering, you're judging it. So if you're judging it, you can't surrender to it. Surrender has to do with being free of judgment because judgment is based on an opinion. You're having an opinion about something. But you have to let go of opinions. You can't surrender based on, you know, God told you that what this is all about. That's a conditional surrender, that you know what's going on. It's not about knowing. It's about loving. It's about trusting love. Now you may feel that this is very far away from you, but I assure you that it's not. First of all, each of you is composed of different areas of your own psyche where surrender and attunement is more possible and surrender is less possible. There are different areas of your being where this works itself out. Secondly, and this is the miracle of living in this time, whether your emotions are complaining or you feel conflict or you are frustrated with life, or you want it to be different, your own soul is gaining greater access to your motivational structure because your soul's vibration and the vibration of your emotional body and your physical body are coming together. So no matter what your emotional self is doing, that's what's happening underneath whatever your emotional self is doing. The multidimensional aspect of who you are is becoming unified so that your soul vibration or your higher self vibration is coming into greater proximity to your physical embodied self. So there's the promise of that. And as I said earlier, if this is what you wish, open the door through prayer. Because the prayer to know how to surrender is a powerful prayer. The prayer to know how to surrender will bring you the way of surrendering. It will absolutely bring you the way of surrendering. You'll still have choices. Surrender isn't enforced on anybody. But the prayer to know how to surrender will bring you the circumstances in which the choice becomes clear. May all beings be blessed with the knowledge of their own divine selves. May all beings know that what they surrender to and what they hold deeply within themselves is good, is love, and is trustworthy. May all beings be blessed by the knowledge of God's divine oneness and their own part in it. Amen.